Let us now turn to God's holy word for our instruction, for our worship, for our praise of him, for our learning. We turn to the book of 2 Kings and the chapter 11. This is God's holy word. Come, let us hear his holy and precious word. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. Ye shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king, as he goeth out and as he cometh in." And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were come in on the Sabbath, with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains of the hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son, and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony. And they made him king, and anointed him. And they clapped their hands, and said, "God save the king." And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason!" But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, "Have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword." For the priests had said, "Let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and brake it down. His altars and his images brake they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan the priest of Baal before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds, and the captains, and the guard, and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings, and all the people of the land rejoiced. And the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with a sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. Amen. This is God's holy word, this precious, infallible, and holy word, and may the Lord be pleased to grant his blessing to that public reading of his word, and then we look to him to kindly and very graciously grant his Holy Spirit to preach his word for the glory of his name and to the good of our very needful and never dying souls. Congregation, I turn your prayerful attention again to the words which we read earlier. I read to you in your hearing there from 2 Kings in the chapter 11, and I'll just read the verses 1 to 4 again. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain, and he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds, with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. Amen. So reads God's word. The Lord helping me this evening to minister his word for the profit of our souls and for the glory of his name. Dear friends, the records and the annals of time and history, and above all, the Word of God, the living God, who has given us his living Word. It is the living Word of the living God. He has given us this Word, and they declare many things. They declare that man is sinful, and that our sin will surely find us out. His Word constantly declares to us that his Word is sure, and his promises are sure. And every page of sacred scripture that God has given us, they point to the fact that God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. And God hates sin. And God is a God of wrath. He's a God of vengeance. But he is also a God of love that has sent his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, despite the plans of sinful men and of the devil himself. And so throughout the Word of God, God is speaking to us, and he is telling us that by nature we are wicked. By nature we are children of wrath. That is clearly what we read in the Epistle to the Ephesians, and we must be born again. That we must be translated into the kingdom of light, because by nature we were in the kingdom of darkness. And God's word is constantly telling us that the morality of man is evil. And furthermore, the word of God is telling you, and it's telling me, that the mortality rate of man is 100%. It only depends where and when we're going to die. We're each and every one of us going to die. If we face that fact, every one of us is going to die. The scriptures say, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The mortality rate of man has always been 100%, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. Despite what the rich and famous may think, they're going to die. You're going to die, I'm going to die. Also, eternity is certain. The thing is, where are you going to spend eternity? Where am I going to spend eternity? What we know and what we understand and what we believe in this life will determine where we spend eternity. Depends all upon that, where we shall spend eternity. That God is going to be merciful to us and bring us to a true saving knowledge of him will determine where we spend eternity. So pray God will have mercy. This word is also telling us that the Lord, the God of heaven, sees men's hearts. He sees their minds. He sees their actions and he tries them. The scriptures tell us that all things are naked and opened and bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. God sees the heart of this wicked queen, Athaliah. And it seems that for 6 years, nothing is done. But be sure, the Bible says, your sin will find you at. And so we have this passage that we've read. We have before us this wicked queen, Athaliah. She was as wicked as her mother, Jezebel. As wicked as her father, King Ahab. Wicked people, wicked parents. Sometimes people will be greatly wicked despite having good parents. We can think of a number of characters in the Bible. Manasseh, for instance. We by nature are very much like this woman, Athaliah. What she did was for her own ends, like a lot of women today. She had all the seed royal put to death to suit her own ends. Many women today will go to the abortion clinics and kill innocent babies. The wickedness of people's hearts. Many women do that to promote their careers, to put self-interest before life, before God, before their children. As we read in the verse 1, when her son Ahaziah died, she became queen and she reigned 6 years. And as we read in the verse 1, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. That is, all those on the side of King David, that they could not be king. She was from the line of Ahab, the ungodly line, not the line that God promised that the Messiah would come from. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would come from that royal line, that seed royal. God had promised King David that his great ancestor would sit upon that everlasting throne. And he is now seated in heaven, in glory, crowned with majesty. And one day you will see him. One day she will see him. She tried to stop this, to promote her own ends. Now, there is also no doubt that her evil actions were spawned in hell, were spawned by the devil himself, by Satan. There's no denying that. Like Herod. And we know this, we're reminded by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. That the people of this world are ruled by the prince of this world, by the prince of the power of darkness, the sons of disobedience. And unless we're born again, we're in league with him and we're in darkness. Oh, we may not feel it, but we're living for ourselves and we deny the very King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we need to know this most solemn truth. Now Satan, although he's not omniscient, although he doesn't know all things, and he cannot read the hearts and the minds of people as God, he does know this, that through this line of David would come the great Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Why? Because it was promised, it was spoken in his very ears, there in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3:15, we read, don't we? And I will put enmity between thee and the seed of the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God speaking there to Satan. And so she is fueled by her own greed and lust, but also by Satan himself, desiring that there could be no possible succession of the line of King David. But also behind all of that is the wicked one, Satan. We could say, in a sense, she was an Armenian in practice, thinking she could overthrow the counsel and the decree of God, God who predetermines all things that soever should come to pass. She thought she could overthrow the decree of God by her own will, and that line would not continue, but not so. God will have the last word. She thought she killed all the seed royal, but she didn't. There was one child left, which God had ordained should be king. You see, what had happened is God, as we read the narrative here, God had placed another woman, Jehosheba, here, in the exact place, at the right time, in the province of God, in his time, to rescue this little boy. And it's just a reminder, isn't it, that everything is planned by God. Every conversation that we have, every tract you give to somebody, every word that is spoken to us, is planned by God, is determined by God. As soon as this woman hears that this queen is going about killing the seed royal, she immediately takes this little baby, Joash, from his mother and father and immediately hides him. She put her own life at risk to save him so that he would become king. We read that for 6 years he was raised in the house of the Lord. Does not the great king, is not his house the house of the Lord Jesus, the Lord's temple? Well, that's where he was raised. And he was raised by Jehoiada, this priest, a God-fearing man, who even put his own life at risk to save him. You think of the immense faith that this priest had. And God honors it all. God is behind it. God is working it. And so we read about this woman that saves him, the verse 2, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons. And that's Ahaziah's sons. He's dead now, but he's got sons that are alive. And this wicked mother will have all these children put to death. You tell me, dear friends, there isn't a devil and there isn't darkness in this world. And so they hid him, even and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. So in the midst of this slaughter, this little boy is saved. He who is powerless to do anything is saved. And I suppose in one sense it's a picture of us. If we are sat here tonight and we are saved. What I mean by saved is saved from the wrath to come. Saved and put in the kingdom of God. Saved, as it were, and in the Father's hand and in the Son's hand. We're only saved because someone else has saved us. And that's the Lord. We were powerless, helpless to do it. He gave his life for us. And he sent his Spirit to us in our hearts and quickened us by his Spirit so that we are born again. So when it comes to our salvation, we're saved. It's only because the Lord has chosen to save us. He would have been lost. So in one sense, it's a picture of us. Now this little boy, rescued. He's rescued to reign. And that's also a picture of us, if we're Christians, aren't we? We're rescued to reign, to live as kings and priests forever. As I mentioned this morning from the book of the Revelation, Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God, and to his Father, has made us kings and priests. We're saved, as we thought this morning, to serve him and to reign with him. We're told in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh I will grant to sit with me in my throne. And then furthermore, Paul says to Timothy, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. I don't know in what way we'll reign with him, as I mentioned this morning, but we'll reign with him. He was saved to be king and saved to reign. But when we read of this man Joash, he was a little boy, he was 7 years old when he began to reign as king. Well, we don't read such good things about him. He did evil things in the sight of the Lord. He again introduced Baal worship. He didn't live up to his name. Very unthankful. He could have been slain. But the Almighty saved him. And my dear friends, God has spared you another day to hear this message. Spared you. Will you serve the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, or will you carry on living? You could have been swept away with people that were killed in a train accident just not so long ago. Some car accident. Some awful incident. You could have been gone. The Bible is constantly warning us. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. And despite even these warnings and this mercy that's shown to him, will he serve the Lord? No. You see, unless the Lord changes the heart, dear friend, man will remain in his sin. You can be spared many things, but will you change? Will a leopard change its spots? And so my advice to you is to cry out to God and ask Him to change your heart and make you not like Joash, but seek the Lord. Ask Him to work that in your heart, to change you. Pray God will change your heart. Now, we are not to look at King Joash primarily, but the scriptures always point us much farther to a higher and a greater king, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures are always constantly pointing us to the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. We see this woman trying to get rid of the seed royal. But we also see Herod. Do you remember Herod? So we read of him in the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 2. And when he heard of this king that would be born, the Lord Jesus Christ, he sought to kill him. He tried to get the wise men to tell him where he was. But his parents were warned in a dream at night and told to flee to Egypt. And Mary and Joseph did flee. They fled for this child's life. Imagine that, God become a little baby. In one sense, yes, helpless. Although he could end the world, he put himself in that state so that he might be the eternal king of his people, so that he might go to a cross as the Son of God and the Son of Man. The King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, came into this world. Herod tried to kill him. Who was behind that? Satan. Evil designs, the devil. As we have thought there from Genesis chapter 3 in the verse 15, Satan knew all these things. The King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, came into this world, lives a life in relative obscurity for some 33 years. And what happens? Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Jesus of Nazareth, what of him? He went about doing good. But throughout his life, wicked men dogged his steps. And finally, they trumped up all these false charges against him. And there he was taken before Pilate and Herod and back to Pilate again. They hated him, the scriptures say, without a cause. They despised him. Why? Because he is this great king, the great and glorious king. And finally, we see there at Calvary, the Son of God come. And Pilate comes to him and says, "Art thou a king?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." And then he said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." But Pilate and others wouldn't hear his voice. Pilate declared, "Even though to the people I find no fault in him," and went through a ceremony of washing his hands, and yet delivered him to be crucified. And Pilate then said at the end of it all, "Behold the man." Behold the man. Yes, we behold the man, the sinless Son of God. And yet the Jews, what do they cry? "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And they did. They crucified him. They put him to death. They pierced his hands and his feet. They pierced his heart with that sword. They then put him in the tomb for 3 days. And they thought they had killed him. They thought he was dead. Just as Athaliah the queen thought that the king was dead. But he wasn't. The Jews thought the king was dead. But he isn't. He's alive today. Every Jew that reads the Word of God, and they have the Torah, they have the Old Testament, which speaks of this king. Every Jew knows that the Lord Jesus is alive, the King of the Jews. And he will come and he will judge this world. But let me ask you, you know this gospel, and if you know this gospel, you know this king is alive. But have you bowed to him? You see, she lived for these 6 years. In total mind, he's dead. There's nothing going to get me out of my position. I am queen, and I will be queen. And I've snuffed out the purposes of God. Maybe you're here tonight and think, I don't need to answer to the Lord Jesus. My friends, he's alive. He says of himself, behold, I am he that liveth, was dead, and am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. My friends, he does. 6 years she lived, thinking he was dead. And I'll tell you, six is the number of man in the Bible. I think it's no coincidence. But in the seventh year, what happened? Lo and behold, great celebrations in the house of God during these 7 years when she thinks she is queen. There is a king. And my dear friends, you are not king of your life. You are not queen of your life. But the Lord is King of Kings. He is the Lord of glory, and you will bow. You will bow to him one day, and you will confess that he is Lord, and you will answer to him. He is the creator of all things, and all people, all creatures are accountable to him. Why did he die? He died for his people's sins. That's why he died. It wasn't an accident. Why was Joash hid? He was hid so that he could be king. He was very young, only a little baby. We read that he was 7 years old. So he could have maybe just perhaps been a year old when he was hid. Not even that. My dear friends, nothing will stop the plan of God. God the Father has determined, as we sang from that Psalm 2, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reign. The heathen, imagine a vain thing. They plot in vain against the Lord's anointed. But he shall reign. And he will reign over some in hell. The unbelieving, the damned, will be in hell. And we know this. They will be punished, we're told in the scriptures, in the presence of God and before his holy angels in hell. It's not as if you are somehow not in the presence of God. You're in the angry presence of God forever and forever. Maybe you know what it is to have a father that is angry with you because you've done something wrong in your life. And you fear his face and his looks, and you can see he's upset with you. But I tell you, it will be a million times worse in hell. You will be in the very angry presence of Almighty God. This is why Psalm 2 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way. My dear friend, we have read of Athaliah's end. What happened to her? We read here how the priest, Jehoiada, he looks after, amazing, isn't it? He looks after this little baby in the temple, and he orders all the guards. Amazing how God gave power to this priest to order the guards. There were three watches to watch over this king. You wouldn't have imagined this would have been possible, would you? During the days of this, how could it be? God rules over all. His power is supreme. He has his people in the right places. In the right times, he ordains all things that should come to pass. And he will ensure that his great king, the Lord Jesus, will come in power and in glory. He has mighty angels of heaven that will come. They will come upon those clouds of glory, and you will see with your own eyes the Lord Jesus. What was her attitude when she saw this little king? We read how the crown was put upon his head, and the trumpeters blasted their trumpets, There was a great procession and everybody cheered. What was her response? Traitor? Traitor? Is that not the kettle calling the pot black? My dear friends, sinners have an audacity to not bow to the God of heaven. God has made you, not you yourself. Neither me, myself. I am not here by accident. I didn't bring myself into this world. I owe everything to God. I owe all things to Him. You owe Him the air that you breathe, the food that you eat, everything we owe to God. Everything she had, she owed to God. What is amazing is that God allowed her to live for 6 years. And what is amazing is that God allows sinners to walk His earth for the days of their lives. And yet they have the temerity to insult God. My friends, do you not see a picture here from the pages of Scripture of your heart? Oh, you may have heard of this king, but have you bowed to him? Are you bowing to him now in your life? You know, some people say, he's my Savior, but he's not my Lord. There was that kind of teaching going around for a long time. You say that you don't believe me? I'll tell you that's true. Many churches have taught that. But he said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? If he is our Lord, he is also our Savior. If he's not our Lord, he's not our Savior. We must bow to him. We must submit to him. In time, she was found out. The king was announced in that seventh year. And again, it's a wonderful picture, isn't it, of perfection of time. It's just a matter of time. The seventh year, he was then brought out. Notice the verse 4. In the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over the hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath with them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. Isn't that amazing? He was taken out of hiding, shown to all the guards. They had to make an oath that they were going to protect him and keep him. But what is her attitude? She shouts, traitor. Now, strikingly, her name means the Lord is exalted. Athaliah, the Lord is exalted. Really? Was it exalted in her life? No, hardly so, was it? She didn't exalt the Lord. She exalted herself. And that is how people are in this world. They exalt themselves. They don't exalt God. Her parents were wicked. She followed in their line. But we notice the coronation. Verse 13. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. She met her end that very day. We're told at the end of this chapter how she was slain. She met a very similar end to her mother, Jezebel. Remember how Jezebel was carried out in a cart, and the blood coming out of the cart, and then the dogs got in the cart, and all that was left was a skull and some bones, and they were left licking up her blood. My dear friends, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We read in verse 16, and they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. And we read, and Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and brake it down. His altars and his images brake they in pieces thoroughly and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. You see, during the days of Athaliah, this queen, she had been promoting Baal worship. Like her mother and her father, they were wicked heathen people, following false gods. And now there's a turn. There's a turn of things. A new king is put upon the throne. But what of him? What of Joash? Spared from death, spared from the sword. And we read how even the testimony is put in his hands as he is made king. The testament, the law of the testimony is put on his hands, and an oath is made. My dear friends, let me say, you can see and witness mighty things and yet continue to live in wickedness and go to a lost eternity. Do not bank on what you hear, but judge your life and judge your heart by what you do. Are you the Lord's? If you are the Lord's, you'll do his will. And you'll look to this great king, not in this chapter, but the great king who came to give his life as a ransom for many. And you will honor him. The great king would come because Joash was made king. No, we owe nothing to Joash. Nothing whatsoever. He is there by the mercy of God. We owe nothing to him. We owe nothing to man. But because God purposed that he should be there, that the line of David could continue. And then eventually the great, greater son of David would come. And that he would give his life for sinners, that they would be saved from the wrath to come. My dear friends, if you will not bow to this king, you will have an awful end. You live in this world as if you are not accountable to God. And it doesn't matter whether you bow to the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings. You carry on that way, it will be a terrible end. A terrible end. We see here how all the people rejoiced at the end, the verse 20. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet. And they slew Athaliah with a sword beside the king's house. But there is coming a day, and they soon, believe me, they soon changed their tune once this king began to reign. But I'll tell you this, the Lord Jesus is the perfect king. The sinless king. And one day, all God's people will rejoice when they see him. And they will rejoice forevermore. But the lost, his enemies, he will destroy. He owns this world. He owns the very ground you are sitting on. He owns the air that you have just breathed into your lungs. He owns your body. He owns everything. You bow to him. You kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish in the way. Isaiah speaks of the great king to come, and he says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and the princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. There is coming the great tempest of God's judgment. It's coming very soon. You die tonight. You enter into that judgment. And you go and you be reserved in a place of darkness, awaiting the great day of his wrath. The word of God says he shall reign. You may say, I can't see him now. Yes, because he's in heaven. But he's coming again. Queen Athaliah did not see this king, but she eventually saw him. And you will see this king. The Jews who deny the Lord Jesus, who put him to death, along with the Gentiles, will see him. But we who trust in him for our forgiveness, and for our righteousness, yes, we shall see him, but we shall not tremble at his coming. We shall rejoice with unspeakable joy, and we shall be made like him, and our bodies shall be changed from this vile body, and we shall receive glorified bodies, and we shall have a glorified and perfect spirit, and be forever with the Lord. And you shall be lost and meet a terrible end. My dear friends, God promised to send his son. Did he not send him? He sent him. He's promised to send him again. Will he send him? He will send him. Be sure of it. Your sin will find you out, as Athaliah did. This little king was spared. You have been spared a while, my dear friends. To whom much has been given, much will be required. The Lord Jesus condemned those ancient cities which he preached to, Bethsaida and Chorazin, and said that it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them on that day of judgment. And I tell you this, it will be more tolerable for those drug takers and those drunks out there than for you. It'll be more tolerable for murderers and thieves than for you, because you have heard the way of righteousness. You have heard about the Lord Jesus and will not bow to him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Amen.